to that one with me. It's Romans 12 from the Message translation this morning. Sorry, Dad. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you always dragging you down, to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops a well-formed maturity in you. That's kind of been our life motto, I guess, if you want to put it, what we've lived for and what we have patterned our life after. So this morning, I'm not really sure exactly where to start. I've been praying all week about how God wants us to go through this. But our journey, I guess the one that we're sharing this morning, starts about 18 months ago. I was out east visiting one of my daughters and a granddaughter, and I knew that Terry was having to go through a procedure here just to see. She hadn't been feeling well. She had had stomach aches and, you know, just feeling lethargic. And I was actually in the car on the way back to the airport, and I just texted her, said, how did the procedure go? How is everything going? What did the doctor say? And all I got back was was this cryptic message: it's bad, I've got cancer. And that was it. End of story. And I guess I went white as a sheet because my daughter looked over at me and said, Dad, what's wrong? And I said, Mom's got cancer. And immediately my mind went to, I don't know why, went to, why God? Why are you doing this to me? Why are you giving Terry cancer? Why are you allowing this to happen? And I think it's something that any Christian asks at any time, any given time, and in any given situation in their lives. When something like that comes along, you go, why is God allowing this to happen? But I can't answer that. I just know that God doesn't allow or disallow things to happen. I know that he has us in his hands. I've always known that since I was, I believe, 9 years old when I accepted Christ. I've known that he answers prayer. Not always yes, not always no. Sometimes maybe, sometimes later. And so I know that God answers prayer, always, never fails to answer prayer, but it's not always in the way that we think is best, I guess is the best way to put it. And so I was in the car and I was thinking, well, why God, why are you allowing this to happen to me now? And I couldn't answer that. I think I was in a little bit of a state of shock because it was probably the last thing that I thought would ever happen, especially to Terry, who had been so always so healthy and so vibrant. And I couldn't understand why God was placing a disease like cancer upon her. And so anyways, I made my way home. It was a night flight. I got home late at night, early the next morning, I guess. And from that point on, things kind of progressed rather quickly. And we prayed. I brought the family together. Oh, you want me to go through this, do you?
I want you to let me tell you before you go on.
Okay. Sorry, this is how it always is. She's in control. And I basically just do what I told to do.
Sit down.
Yes, dear.
I love you. We wrote out a kind of a synopsis, and Brad's just getting a little bit ahead, and that's why I wanted him to stop, because to go back and talk about this part of my life story, it begins in the summer of 2006 when I started to just feel kind of yucky. I didn't feel right. I didn't feel something. Something was off. And I don't like sick people. So I couldn't possibly be sick because I don't do sick. I don't handle sick. I'm terrible. Ask Brad. I am the worst nurse in the world. I mean, he would be sick and not tell me because he knew I would just, like, get mad. What do you mean you're sick? So I had not told anybody. I just felt horrible, and I had pain that I couldn't deal with. And I honestly kind of thought, well, this is what it's like to get old, right? I had hit the big 6-0 that January, so I thought, oh, this is just what it is. So when I was young, I did lots of very foolish things. I was a professional figure skater. I was an amateur skier, horseback rider, rock climber, hiker. Anything that could have hurt me physically, probably I did, right? Used to throw my kids off a rock and catch them. That was called rock climbing, right, Kate? Yeah. So I did lots of things to hurt myself, and so getting older, I figured just meant pain. I was going to have bad hips, bad knees, bad ankles, bad shoulders, the whole thing. So, but by the fall of 2016, I was in so much pain, I finally had to go to the doctor. I took a road trip to Calgary, and by the time I got back, I was sweating and shaking from being in the car, from being in a seat for so long. And so I phoned my doctor, made an appointment. She started running me through a whole battery of tests. Oh, you have high cholesterol, your blood pressure's too high, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, whatever. But nothing was wrong with where the area of pain was, which was my left hip and my back. And so she said, well, I think we're going to have to send you for a colonoscopy. No. Anyways, November 15th, I will never forget that day. And yeah, Brad was down east. And so Kate, lucky girl, was my driver that day, taking me to the hospital and supposed to be picking me up. So when I woke up, thank goodness they put you out for that stuff. Like, when I woke up, I was told that the surgeon wanted to speak to me and my driver. So they had actually already called Kate, and we were in the doctor's little cubbyhole room that they have there at the hospital, and then she said the words that changed everything, like everything. She said, you have cancer, and I have scheduled you for surgery in 2 weeks. You have a large mass in your colon. And I remember looking at Kate and her looking at me, and I'm sure we were both white as a sheet. I know she was. And we were speechless because how could this be? How could this happen? How could my life change so drastically on a dime? Wait a minute. I don't have time for this. I have plans. I have things I want to do. And so 2 weeks later, I was in surgery because it was imminent that it was going to create real havoc. And so I had a tumor the size of a grapefruit removed from my colon. And they tested all around the area. They found no other signs of cancer. So that meant I had stage 2 cancer, which meant no chemotherapy, no radiation. Praise God. Because I figured, huh, that's enough with the doctors. That's enough with the medical. That's enough, right? But the story doesn't end there. I want to assure all of you that through this entire time, while Brad was saying, why God, why God, I just felt God's sweet presence like never before. I felt surrounded by his love and peace, and I was completely unafraid. Like, fearless. I had no fear. I cannot remember feeling anxious or upset or terrified or anything like that. I felt completely at peace, and God filled me with a joy that I can't even explain during this time. So While I was recovering from my surgery in December, our family, of course, stayed very close, kind of hovered. And some people came forward at this time to lend a hand to help us keep our business on track and to help us keep our life on track and to keep our focus on the future. I'm self-employed. So when you are self-employed, if you're not working, there is no income. And so Derek and Tracy are dear friends. They're actually here today. We're so grateful to them. They stepped in and they stepped up when we needed them so much to encourage us and to say, you know what, this is not the end. This is going to go forward. We knew that God was in control, and God knew that we would need help. So I believe that God prompted them to be with us through this trial, right? A friend that sticks closer than a brother. So this story is tied to our faith in God as he has directed our lives, as Brad said. And we firmly believe that God foreknew all of this. So this might sound kind of funny, but 14 years ago, I started in business for myself with this company called Primerica. God makes no mistakes. He knows the beginning from the end. And that was not a mistake, because God knew what was coming, even though I didn't. And so after recovery, I went back to work, and God blessed the work of my hands. And by July, my business income had doubled, and we're kind of shaking our heads and scratching our heads and going like, what's going on here? And about the same time we were celebrating all of this wonderful stuff that's going on, I got a call from my oncologist saying they needed to redo one of my lab tests. So every week I would have blood work done. So we went back to the lab, and the lab lady said, oh, yeah, no big deal. It was probably just a tainted test. Who knows? No big deal. So I thought, okay, no big deal. Another week, I got a call from the oncologist, and she says, you need to go for a CT scan. We just want to check things out. So I went for a CT scan. Has anybody ever had one of those? They are horrible things. Poking and prodding and making you wear a little gown and not much else. It's not fun. So 2 weeks passed after my CT scan, and I got a call from the oncologist again. You know what? I must be a little clueless, because I'm just thinking, like, what does she want? Right? I'm good. I'm busy. I have life. And so I had to go to her office at the Cross Cancer Institute. And at that time, I had no idea what to think, so I just went in and sat with the oncologist as she explained to me that she was very sorry, but my cancer had mutated, and she was taking my test results to her cancer panel for confirmation. What? She was also going on holiday, and so one of the other doctors would be calling me to let me know their findings. Oh. Oh. That's really all I could think of was, oh, that can't be right. I feel great. That can't be right. About a week later, we were out at the lake messing around with the grandkids, and I get a call on my cell phone from this very nice doctor. He sounded like he was 12, right? And he said, yes, indeed, your cancer has mutated or metastasized, however you want to call it, to your lymphatic system, and you are now stage 4 terminal. So now that's when Brad called the family in to pray.
Yes, that was quite an afternoon. And Terry's right. We had a family meeting, which I called I've called a few times in my lifetime, and everybody showed up that could show up that was in the area. And it was one of the most special times, I think, that I've ever had in my life. We all laid hands on Terry, and we began to pray. And there was in-laws and grandkids and kids there. We had one of the kids on the phone, and we were just praying for God to come and to heal their mom. It's an amazing thing when you can see a grown-up adult grandchild lay their hands on mom, on their grandma, and ask God to heal her. Don't think there's any experience that'll ever match that, short of heaven. That very day that we got the news from the doctor, both Terry and I were in a state of shock and kind of not really understanding what had just happened, although we knew it was bad. And so what we did was we went to our best friends in Spruce Grove. We called them on the drive home and said, "Can you meet us?" And they graciously took time out of their day. They were actually moving that day to meet us and to just let us tell them the news that had happened in our lives. At that point, you've got the same thing here.
Yeah.
Anyways, during that meeting with Derek and Tracy, Derek started texting, and I'm thinking, well, the news wasn't very stunning to him, but he was texting actually some folks down in Phoenix, Arizona, some friends of his that had gone through, the wife had gone through the exact same cancer as Terry had. And he was just asking if they had any advice, because they knew that Sandy had gone to a special treatment center there and had actually been cured of the cancer, and that was 16 years previous to that time. I didn't expect anything to come of it. These folks are very well off. Excuse me. And I didn't think they'd give us the time of day, but they did. They texted us back with Sandy's personal cell phone number and asked for Terry to call at that time. Well, we were at the doctor's, and when he told us that it was terminal, I was kind of sitting there and stunned and kind of, again, going, "God, how can you allow this to happen to somebody? Give it to me." Like, I'm not a good guy. I'm not a really great guy. I can go. I'm old. I'm fat. It's time for me to go. I'm not all that healthy anyway. But I don't think he was really listening to me at that time, because he wasn't changing that diagnosis from Terry. She was having to go to chemotherapy every 2 weeks, or once every 2 weeks, for treatment. And it was, as I understand, it was heavy dose chemotherapy. She went the first time, and we were not really we did not know what to expect. The first time when we came home, she said, "I've got this. I don't feel too bad." So I thought, oh, okay, take a big breath and thank God for that. But she went the second time 2 weeks later and came home and said, "I've had enough. I can't take it anymore." She was extremely sick. Then I kind of freaked out, kind of panicked at that point, was wondering, "Why, God, why are you doing this to me again?" And not really understanding what he had in mind. Thanks, sweetheart. But God was working behind the scenes the whole time. We had, during this time, gotten information from Scottsdale, Arizona, where the treatment center is, and Terry was in contact with the people down there, the doctors down there, and they said to come down, and the only way to do this was to come down to Scottsdale and get testing done. They do specialized testing that takes 2 weeks for any kind of prognosis to come back. So she went down and took the testing at went down on a weekend and took the testing all day on a Monday, a blood test. They took a lot of vials of blood. And then they sent her home and said, we'll be in contact in 2 weeks, whether you're a good candidate for our process or not. And so we had 2 weeks of kind of wondering what God had in mind. And during this 2 weeks, I can tell you I prayed. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. I didn't sleep very much during those 2 weeks. Most of the night I was up simply praying to God to, obviously, to heal Terry. And I was hoping that God would just simply reach down and heal her miraculously and just be done with it. Let's just wake up in the morning, God, and go to the doctor and have them test and say, hey, you're cured. It's all gone. That wasn't to be. And I don't know why. And this is what happens when we're Christians. We don't understand the ways of God, which is a good thing. Because if I understood how God thinks and how he does things, he wouldn't be God. And so that, I think, is one of the big things that he taught me, is that no matter how we figure things out and how we go through life and how we ask and plan things out and ask him to bless our plans and our thoughts and our procedures, he doesn't do it that way. He has a plan. He's always had a plan for Terry since the world started. And that plan is going to take place no matter what. So anyways, she went down and met with Krista down at the center. And that was on a Thursday. She was talking to Krista. She went down Saturday. She met with the team on Monday, and then 2 weeks later, this started to happen.
So, God brings peace in the midst of everything. Let me tell you, chemo was not fun. Nausea, tiredness, more pain. But God is good, and though I was sick, I was still able to do what needed to be done. And yeah, I figured after one chemo session, man, I got this. This is no big deal. I have a plug-in. That's called a port. That's where they plug you into the chemotherapy. So, but the second treatment, I am so thankful because actually before my second treatment happened, I got a call from the clinic in Scottsdale. It's called Envita, so if I say Envita, you know what I'm talking about. And my doctor in Scottsdale, his name is Dr. Ertley. And Dr. Ertley let me know that he felt I was a good candidate for their treatment protocols. He was very clear, there is no guarantees, but the lab work that they had done, like seriously, they took 37 vials of blood. That lab work gave him hope. He advised me at that time to only have one more of my traditional chemotherapy treatments and then head down to their clinic. I was so glad because, like Brad said, after my second chemotherapy treatment, I was really sick. My hair all fell out, and I was done. So we prayed, we packed, and off we went in the little red Hummer. So I don't remember the next part, so you got to talk about that.
So on the trip down, Terry had been in such pain.
Talk about our financial.
Pardon me? Oh, okay. During this time, we were wondering how to pay for all of this treatment and wondering how it was going to happen and how we could look after our home at home here and live down there, because basically you have to live down in the States during this time and wondering how we could pay for it all. Anyways, again, God miraculously answered that, in that our life insurance policies have a rider on them that if you have or are deemed to be terminal by your doctor, it'll pay you 20% of your face value of your policy. Oddly enough, the check that came in the mail a week and a half later was exactly the amount that we needed to pay for the treatment in Scottsdale, right to the penny, which no one here can tell me that God doesn't work and answer prayer. We had a check within days of that letter going down to Toronto. During the time that we were away, our kids took care of the house. They took care of paying bills, cleaning the driveway, caring for my mom and dad, making sure that they were staying in line, not getting too carried away. Every day was a gift. Every day that we had from that moment on was a gift. Terry doesn't remember much of the drive down to Arizona. She was on such heavy pain medication at that point already that she was smiling a lot, but really wasn't there. And so I was able to go as fast as I wanted to go. And I made it to Scottsdale in 2.5 days. We are so thankful to our church family. We cannot express our gratefulness and our thankfulness enough to you for praying for us. I think that's the reason we're up here this morning, is to say thank you. There was a couple of guys during my sojourn down in the States that texted me quite often, and it was Mel and John. Thank you, guys. You don't know or understand the difference that made in my life, just knowing that there was someone here thinking about us and thinking about us enough to take a couple of minutes to type out a text to see how things were going. So thank you. We got to Scottsdale kind of nervous. I was scared. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know. I thought from going to the cross here, it's very clinical. It's not very personal. It's kind of scary because most people that go into the cross don't come out. So I got to the clinic there, and I thought, boy, I don't know if I've got to go through 3 months of this every single day. I don't know how it's going to go. Anyways, we walked into the clinic, and we walked into one of the most caring and supportive environments that I've ever been involved in. They're dealing with terminally ill, sick people there every single day. Everyone from the medical technicians to the nurses to the doctors let us know that they loved us, not cared for us, but loved us. Our own doctor, Dr. Ertley, is a man of faith, and he prayed for every single patient in his clinic every single day. I think it was in our first consult with him after being there for a couple of weeks. He said that I am here at God's mercy and grace. I am only a facilitator of the healing that he does and is going to do in you. He said, my knowledge and my wisdom comes from him and him alone. He does the healing, and we just facilitate that healing. So we knew that we were in the right place. We knew that God had taken us to the right place at the right time, and we are so thankful for that. Terry spent 4 to 6 hours a day every weekday, Monday through Friday, going through treatment at the clinic. And the amazing thing was, I think one of the most amazing things was, God provided a mission field for us there. As you can well imagine, there are people there that are so sick that they're on their deathbed, they're in wheelchairs, they're on oxygen, they're scared. There's a lot of fear. And if you don't know Jesus Christ today, you're going to experience a lot of fear. When you get sick like that, you're going to experience a lot of fear. We experienced a lot of fear, but we knew that no matter what happened, whether the worst even happened, that Terry was in God's hands. Oh, I also want to thank the Sunday school here for sending us down that Christmas package. That was amazing. I don't know who's responsible for that, but thank you so much. Got a big package of letters and cards and stuff from the kids here, and it was just an amazing thing, amazing day. So I'm going to let Terry take off from here.
So as we were at the clinic, as Brad said, 4 to 6 hours a day. Thankfully, they had nice lazy boy chairs. We grew to love the staff there. We grew to love our fellow patients. And as I began to feel better and better, God showed me how to reach out and to bring his joy to other people. He provided me with the weirdest opportunities to share his love. So just picture yourself sitting in a little two-man sauna, and the person says, "Why are you always so happy? Don't you have cancer?" And me having the opportunity to share why I have joy. Why? So we made no excuses for our joy. They started calling me Tigger. I was bouncing in and out of that clinic every day. I started to feel amazing. We made no excuses for our faith in God. We told people everywhere how God had brought us to this particular clinic at this particular time and how he had provided everything we needed. I was asked over and over and over to tell my story. We met a fellow from London, Ontario. His name was Wayne. And Wayne and his wife, Jamie, were at the clinic. And one of my fellow patients, who was also a believer, had the privilege of leading Wayne to the Lord while I was sitting outside praying. We were part of a greater mission, and it was so exciting. Our doctor prayed for us, and he told us that he was just God's hands and feet. After we had been there for 2 months, we went in for one of our consults with Dr. Ertley, and he said, "Terry, I believe that God has so much in store for you, that God has big plans for you, that he is going to heal you completely, and that you are going to do wonderful things, and you're going to take this story, and you're going to tell other people and help them come to understand the joy that God gives in the midst." We didn't want to talk too much about the specifics of our treatment today because it is kind of gory. But I was literally plugged in every day and had IVs of all kinds of goodies going into my body. And I did have chemotherapy. But I had something called genetically targeted chemotherapy, which meant that all those 37 vials of blood that they had taken in the beginning, they had tested my blood to see what chemotherapy would actually work. And then I was given minute doses of this chemotherapy every other day. And I didn't get sick. I didn't have nausea. I didn't have any of the other symptoms. In fact, the first day that I had chemotherapy, Brad and I went for a 5-mile hike in the mountains. God is good. He has good plans for us. And after 3 months, we were given the all clear to come home. And we kind of went, "Really?" It was scary. Because we felt safe there. We felt like everything was being met. All our needs, we were safe. Now, they're going to cut me loose and they're going to send me home. So, I have to be honest, we're still adjusting. I still am having treatments. I go to a naturopath and I get plugged in for some goodies going into my system. But God is good, and he is with me every step of the way, and that no fear is still not there. I don't have it. No matter what plans God has for me, I know he is good all the time. And that's what we kept saying to our kids. God is good all the time. And it was hard being away from here. It was hard. But we can see that God had bigger plans for us and that he continues to plan for our future. We have a really quick little video that just kind of, you can see some of the faces of the people that we met there and our little hotel where we lived. And there's a picture on the front end and a picture on the back end that I found, actually. And the title of this painting is First Day in Heaven. And it became very, very precious to me. And then while you guys are popping that video in, I'll get the team to come back up.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Oh, oh. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice, and the seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see, and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. And through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well, it is well. So let go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. So let go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. The waves and wind still know his name. And through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well, it is well. So let go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and the wind still know his name. So let go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and the wind still know his name. The waves and the wind still know his name. Amen.